Praise the Lord. Y'all ready to get into some word this morning? Yeah. All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I promised you Sunday before last, before we left and went to Kentucky, that we started a series. Now we're going to get into it. I started at the last. Now we're going to go to the first. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Now I'm going to read this, and just for this one, if you'll give honor by standing. This is honor to God's word, not to me. And I'll be gentle on you, so we'll only read one verse. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph said to his brothers and his father, remember? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Y'all may be seated. What we need to realize out of this series is that I think that every one of you, if I ask your opinion, and I don't generally do that because I really don't want it, and I know you don't want mine, so now we're even. But what we need to pull out of things like this is that, in my opinion, Joseph had the right to be angry. He had the right to get a little even. He had a right to spout off a little bit. He had a right to set some things straight verbally and tell them they were wrong and he was right. He could have pouted. He could have kicked. He could have hit. He could have done a lot of things, and most of us would have given him leeway. But God didn't. God never does. God never allows us to pout. Silent treatments, all that nonsense that we do to each other, you're not allowed. You may give yourself permission, but God never gives you that permission. Amen. The bottom line is what we're going to see here, and the title of this message, the main title is God's Will is a Trip. This is part two with a subtitle being God's Will Revealed. Today we're going to see God's Will Revealed. We start with the end, again, the scripture at the end, where he's in the position of what he knows God's will to be. Nobody else had a vote on it, not his fathers, not his brothers, his sisters, his aunts, uncles, kinfolk. He's finally there, and he's being able to say to them anything he wants to say. And what he says, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Amen. In order to bring about this day, to save many people. And then he said, the verse, next verse, it said, he said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide for you and I'm going to care for you. He gave them what they did not and refused to give to him. Now that's what Christians do. That's what Christians do. They put up with the nonsense, quit feeling sorry for themselves, and get on about the business of God. Amen. They say to themselves, I don't care what I want. I care what God wants. Yeah. And if it's not turning out the way I want, then I'm going to stop trying to be God. And I'm going to let God be God. Amen. Now, do y'all remember a couple of Sundays ago what we covered? That was one of the things we've covered. One of the things I'm going to tell you right now is we've got to start believing the word and stop saying the word. Amen. I don't care how you say the word. If you don't believe the word, you're not any good to God. Right. How do you know that we're believing God? When you start acting like God wants you to act. Amen. Stop acting the way you want to act. Joseph could have been God. Instead, he yielded to God. Amen. Joseph had a position in Genesis 50, chapter 50, verse 20. He had the position of God. He could have cut off their food supply. He could have had them killed. He could have done anything he wanted because he was totally ruling at that point. Instead, he said, I'm going to admit to you that this whole thing has been a plan for God. Even when I didn't like it, even when it didn't go my way, even when I couldn't argue my way out of it, even when everything looked black and looked like I was dead or gone forever, didn't make any difference. God was always in control for this plan. Now, we know that to be true in our lives because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that we know His thoughts for us, His plans for us. They're good. Even when I don't feel so good about it. His plans are to prosper you, care for you, provide for you, not harm you, and give you a hope and a future. Why? Because He has one. Amen. See, one of the things that we miss is that He's the only one that has a plan, a hope, and a future. We think we do, and yet we are just foolish. We don't have the slightest idea what we want.
That's right.
I know I need God. Yeah. I know I want Him. That's as far as I can go. After that, I don't know what I want. So I need to yield to the man with the plan, the one that's got a plan. I need to give away the foolishness that I call plans, wants, and wishes, and give them to Him.
Yes.
Now that's basically what we said two Sundays ago. So let me start, if you'll turn to Genesis 37. And I'm going to... It seems like Christians are so short-sighted that they don't even believe that God has a plan. When they listen to scientists to tell you that creationism is no good, that evolution is right, they'll actually let some of that seep into their systems because they don't have enough foresight to know that God has a plan and has been in control forever.
That's right.
If you don't know that God doesn't have a plan, if you don't know that God has a plan, if you don't know right now that you've been in that plan ever since birth, if you don't know that He's been caring for you, no matter when, even when the times you thought He wasn't caring for you, then hopefully this series will help us understand that, get more settled in that. To never question God, never question the authority put in our lives. Do you understand that when Joseph was carted away as a slave, he submitted to the authority in his life? Every one of you here just said, this is wrong. I'm going to fight. I'm going to stand up for Him. You'd have been out of order. You'd have been out of order because you would not have recognized the will of God going on in life. His brothers were over there smiling, saying, see what we did to him? They were in rebellion. They were in sin. Because they were not recognizing the will of God.
Amen.
Yeah, but that's my younger brother. Genesis 37. I'm going to show you something. 37:1. We're going to read a few verses here. Jacob. Who was Jacob?
Joseph's father.
Okay. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. Now why did I want you to hear that? Because this was not a comfortable place. So even Jacob had the right to say, what am I doing here? This is not what I wanted. This is not what I wished. Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, but in the land of Canaan. At least he was smart enough to know he was in a good place. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. 17 years old. He tattled on somebody. Can you imagine that happening? Now Israel, who's Israel? God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and I'll show you that shortly. So Israel and Jacob, they're the same person. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. Why is that important? One of the things we need to understand that God has never been fair, but He's always been right.
That's right.
Why do I want you to understand that? So that sometimes when you say, I'm fair, you can finish it off by saying, but you're right. Stan, you're not fair. No, but I'm right.
Amen.
When you can start seeing that in people's lives, then you need to give up fairness because sometimes being fair is wrong.
That's right.
Well, how do you say that? Well, I told you, and what I'm talking about here is a plan from the foundations of the earth to bring Joseph to the rightful place to save his people.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
And so this thing, even though you'd call it unfair, was right. It was right in the sight of God.
Yes.
You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, can I reveal something else to you? Can I describe really dumb people for a second? Because we've all been there. If I told Jonathan here, he's picked out this car and he wants a car, and I know we're a little premature, but we'll use it anyway. He wants this car. He goes out and works for it. He earns the money. Now I'm ready to buy this car. His dad says, no, you're not ready for it. You're not mature enough. You can't handle the responsibility. He gets mad, says, Dad, I hate you, and throws a fit. What did he just prove? That his dad was right. Now you think about this for a second. Think about what I'm saying. Most of the time, when somebody tells us a truth in our lives, we just throw a fit and prove they were right. That's what we end up doing. What happened here was his dad said of Joseph, I have a lot more confidence in you than I do them. And so they got mad, threw a fit, and hated him and proved he was right. See, God's not going to choose people that go around throwing fits and hate, carry grudges for a long time. You're not going to get used by God. God hasn't got time for that. He hasn't got any place for it. He'll just set it the one time aside until you get over it. Joseph was already yielding to authority right now. He was already in love with his father enough to do anything his father would ask him. God knew that. God planned for that, saw it in the future and said, all right, that's the man I'll use to reestablish my kingdom. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Can I ask you something? If my father favors me over you, what are you mad at me for? Is that a righteous question? They were mad at him and couldn't speak peaceably to him, and he didn't do a thing. He didn't do a thing. Verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Now he can't even dream. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. He speaks politely to them. They hate him. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose, also stood up. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dream and for his words. Well, best situation here would have been for him to lie about his dream and turn it around, right? No. Oh, I woke up one day and I was bowing down to you, and then he said, oh, you're such a good little boy. That's called politically correct. Mm-hmm. Politically correct means I'm going to lie to make you feel good and make me feel good that you feel good. Mm-hmm. God's will at that point was being revealed. Now, if we're going to be good Christians, we're going to understand that God's will was revealed in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. But since we're finite beings, then we won't even start with Jacob's father bringing him to a land that they were uncomfortable in, so God's will could be revealed. Can we give enough room now that a 17-year-old boy, in a dream that he doesn't even fully understand or believe, can be pushed into the will of God? Mm-hmm. Okay. Understand what I said? A 17-year-old boy, in a dream that he's not even sure about, he's so anxious to tell somebody because he had a dream, he's being pushed into the will of God. Why do you say that? Do you think without this dream, this a very effective, powerful dream that Joseph had, that he could have ever moved into the ruling and reigning? Now listen, I'm telling you something. What I'm saying this to you is, most of us are afraid to move into the will of God because of the experiences that we have or have not had, rather than taking them as ammunition and power to move forward. Now, you don't have to have a dream of rulership to move in to the will of God. You don't have to dream that you're this big, mighty ruler to move into the will of God. You can have smaller dreams. You can have smaller ambitions that God puts in your heart. All of this, an unction or a push of the Holy Spirit to move you in a direction. What direction? His direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, here's the difference. I don't think Joseph, in not one thought pattern of his, ever had the audacity to believe he could rule over his brothers. Why'd you say that, Stan? Because most of the time, God's push is away from our wish. Or the lack thereof. No man ever stood up and said, today, I've made a decision, I'm going to rule over my family. That was a push, a shove, a direction of God against what we wanted. Right? Verse 9. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. And his father kept it in his mind. The difference between maturity and stupidity. Because I don't like it, I'm going to spit it out. That's the immature. The mature, I don't like it, but I'll keep it in mind. Now let me ask you something. If I told you that I had this dream where the stacks of grain were laying out here, and they my stack was standing up, your stack stood up and bowed to my stack, would you automatically understand that you were to bow to me? And if I told you that one of my dreams was that the time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed to me, you would automatically assume that you, my brothers and my sisters, and my mother and father had to bow down to me? So do you think maybe God was working on the other side of the fence too?
Oh, yeah.
Now that's the reason I said, one, the immature, the foolish, says, I don't like it, I ain't talking to you no more, and I'm going to stomp off and be mad. That's the immature. The mature says, I don't like it, that's a natural flesh reaction, but I'm going to keep it in my mind. I'm not going to let it loose. Now once again, and I'm going to say this until it gets boring, everyone that is a child of God. Let me even back up further than that. Everyone that has the breath of life in them, that breath belonging to God, don't even have to be born again. You just have to be, you have to have a thumping gizzard. You just got to have a heartbeat and a breath. You are in the plan of God.
Right.
I didn't say that you go into heaven. I said you are in the plan of God. You can kick against God, you can resist, and you can end up in hell. And God will use you anyway.
That's right.
He'll use you anyway. I'd rather be used and be patted on the back by God.
Amen.
It's a lot more fun. Do you have a divine plan over your life that's been placed there by God? The plan involves you, but it is built, the plan is designed for the kingdom of God. Joseph did not have a plan over his life to exalt Joseph. God never woke up one day and said, Joseph is a good guy, I'm going to exalt him. That's foolish preaching if you heard that anywhere. God doesn't intend to exalt people. He's not a respecter of persons. That's what the Scripture says. He's a respecter of his plan. He needed an innocent, a heart innocent person to step up and do without selfishness, without pouting, without greed, without anger, and without this thing to get even. He needed that person to be able to step up and rule in a kingdom. And Joseph was the only one at that time was available, prime, to be used for that. Joseph knew that when he looked at his brother and said, I'm going to care for you. He knew if he didn't, he'd be out of the plan of God. The plan began before the foundations of the earth. The plan that you're walking in right now has continued through many, many generations, both good and bad.
Yep.
Just like I've told you before, Jesus was a product of some sin. If you don't believe that, look at some of his genealogy. They were not all great people. So the plan of God is going to come forth no matter who tries to get in the way. Those people that wouldn't accept God, that were in Jesus' lineage, they're on the way to hell. But the plan of God is going on.
Right.
And those that participate in the plan of God, they get rewards. Eternal life, if nothing else.
Yeah.
The people that were involved from Adam and Eve till now, and that includes us, they're all doing the will of God, whether they want to or not. We don't understand it, but we can look over there and see those foolish, foolish, deceived people over in the a lot of countries now. They're supposedly following a God. And God's still using them. God's plan for this, He'll use it. I promise you, He will use it. Now, I want to go back a little bit, and I'm going to show you something about Jacob. Do you all know the history of Jacob? How was he born? Do what? That's his name. But how was he born? Following his brother. That's very important back in biblical times. You may not think it. It's still fairly important. God doesn't change just because our opinions about things change. The firstborn was the one that inherited the rights, the authority, the responsibility, and the power. But something happened in that birth where Jacob fouled that up. He grabbed a hold of the heel. And let's just put it this way. He confused the birthing process to where they really didn't know who was first or last. Genesis 35, verse 9. Genesis 35, verse 9. And I'm going to read through verse 15. Then God appeared to Jacob, Joseph's father, again, when he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. God appeared to Jacob and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore." Because why? Because Jacob meant heel catcher or supplanter. It really meant supplanter, trying to replace the natural authority of things, or the natural progression. And God says, that doesn't fit in my plan. I don't even care about who came first. That's what he's really saying. I don't care about who came first. I don't care about the birthing process. I have a plan, and it's got to go forth. So Jacob, all of those blessings that were supposed to be yours, or they were supposed to be somebody else's, they're yours. Because I've got a plan. I've got to get the plan done. The rest part of that scripture says, "But Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel. The English version of that, Israel. What does that mean? It means he will rule as God. He will rule as God. Or he will rule as God plans. Now, why are you telling us that, Stan? Because the dream we're talking about with Joseph is what he told to Jacob. You will rule as God. Now, Jacob could have said, "No, that doesn't fit my understanding. It doesn't fit the way things are supposed to work. So we're not going to do that," which is what a lot of us do. We don't just accept it when God says it. We want to fight it. We want to hash it out, talk it over for 40, 50 times. And then by the time our words get so mixed up with God's words, so watered down, it doesn't have any effect anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Words are not your friend. They're your enemies. God's words are your friend.
Amen. That's
right. So in this plan, starting from Adam, he's been telling somebody, "You will rule as God," or "You rule for God," all of this time to get to Joseph. Now, I want you, the goal of this series is for you to take this serious about you, not about Joseph. Joseph already accomplished his thing. Let's go to verse 11. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. What does that mean? You can imagine Israel now, or Jacob, saying, I never questioned that fact. Why would God say, if you're not questioning if he's God, why would he look at you and say, I'm God Almighty? Don't get a big head, what?
You're not.
Tradition is not. Ways of this country are not. Or maybe it could just mean I'm overriding everything with this statement. And the period at the end of the sentence is, I'm God Almighty. What does that mean? Don't talk back to me. Don't even question me. Wouldn't it be neat if God could get a bunch of people that wouldn't talk back and wouldn't question? Wouldn't it be neat if we had a bunch of parents that told their kids that? Don't talk back and don't question. Just do what I told you to do.
Amen.
Maybe they get an understanding of who God is.
Right.
I am God Almighty. And since I'm God Almighty, and the only plans I have for you, and I've ever had for you, is to be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that neat? See, back then, tradition took away the be fruitful and multiply and gave it to the firstborn. Now God's saying, I'm God. I make the rules. Be fruitful and multiply. Listen to this. Who's he talking to?
Israel.
All right, Jacob or Israel. Listen to this. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you. Now, did you notice God didn't say, can I ask you to do a favor for me? Could you just do a favor and let a nation come out of you? He didn't say that. He said, a nation will come out of you. See, God knows how to prophesy. We need to learn from Him.
Amen.
You don't question. You just claim it. Kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you. And to your descendants after you, I give this land. Now, when we rattle off Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, does that automatically mean that Jacob believes he's part of that blessing? I don't know how many times I tell you how blessed you are, and you don't believe it. I think that part of the visitation of God to Jacob saying, I'm God, was to bolster his faith. To convince him that he was not a supplanter. He was not a replacer. He was not second in line. God says, you, kings and nations, are going to come from you. Prosperity is going to come from you. Power is going to come from you. Don't ask. It's the way it is. Why? Because Jacob had been talking too much and not believing enough. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it, and he poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of that place where God spoke with him, Bethel, or house of God, place of God. That blessing could not have happened. That plan of God could not have made it to Joseph unless Jacob received it. Well, who did that make Joseph? I mean, Jacob. Nobody? Except somebody that's going to get taken care of one day when it was impossible to get taken care of. It made him a father of a king, basically. There's nothing wrong with that, is there, Bill? Being father of a king? The blessing or the will was first revealed to Jacob before it was revealed to Joseph. Now, if I walked up, anybody in this place, and I said, look, you're going to be, nations are going to come from you. Are you going to have the slightest idea what I'm saying? I don't think Jacob understood exactly what was being said. But there's a real talent that the Holy Spirit encourages in all of us, and that is to believe God without understanding. If you have to have, if you can explain it, then it was way below God anyway.
That's right.
I'll say it to you again. If you can explain it, it's way below God anyway.
Right.
It doesn't take faith to believe something you can understand. Any dummy can do that. I've seen chickens in cages that learned to peck this light and they got that food. Whoa, that's got to be faith. No. No. You and I have been given the ability to literally step out on water, to move out on things that can't be substantiated.
That's right.
That's a tremendous thing that we treat so lightly. That God has not only given us the seed of faith that it would take to do that, but then it's given us the Holy Spirit to push us out right on that water. We ought to be so excited that God wants us to move in the miraculous instead of what they're moving in.
Amen.
Jacob didn't see all what God was talking about. He probably didn't even figure that it was totally real. You know, y'all can relate to what I just said?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay, God, I believe you. I've heard this one before. Well, that ought to tell you something. If you've heard it before. Now, what we've seen here, what I've just showed you, is that God brought Jacob and his family into a land that was not their land. But it had plenty of provision to provide, right? To provide for what they needed. Then he took Jacob to one side, and he said, I got a plan. But to get you this plan, I got to scream at you a little bit. I'm God! Don't argue with me. This is what's going to happen. This is not a vote. Never been a democracy. This is what's going to happen. Kings and nations are going to come out of you. So how did he back that up? He gave a special love to the one that's going to accomplish this, Joseph. You all kind of see it coming together there? He didn't reject his other sons. He just gave special place to this weird one that's having the weird dreams. We see that, and then we go right into the next step, and we see that Joseph, the will of God is being revealed to Joseph in, listen to me, more detail than Jacob. Okay? It's just like any pregnancy. There's a whole lot more detail right before the birth. Right? Things get a lot more real. Okay. Now that we can see, or they can begin to see, God's will revealed, you say, okay. Jacob says, okay, I'm full of kings and nations. And Joseph says, okay, the world's going to bow to me. Now what? Come on, now what? How would y'all implement this if these words have come to you? How do you prepare for a word like this? Well, here's the part we don't like. If the draft system were initiated right now, and Chuck here, he got his draft notice, I'll guarantee you there's going to be some prep that he don't like before he gets to war. It's called boot camp. It's called boot camp. You ever met anybody that loved boot camp?
No.
That's because it's not fun. It's just right. Genesis 37:3. This is where boot camp starts. If you want to know when the will of God is being initiated in your life, it's when things look the worst.
Yep. Yep.
Okay? When nothing seems to go right. I didn't say I didn't get my will. I didn't get my way. That's not what I'm talking about. You shouldn't have been getting your way anytime.
That's right.
That's just foolish of you to try that. Very, very immature. Come on, you want to grade immaturity for a second? Where is the greatest height of immaturity? At birth or 17 years old?
17 years.
I don't agree with you. You just leave a baby 1 second without your attention and see if he don't let you know. At least a 17-year-old get back there and play some dumb game and get out of your hair once in a while. You don't change him on time, he'll yell at you. You don't feed him on time, he'll yell at you. If you don't just pick him up once in a while, he'll yell, that kid will yell at you constantly. Right? The height of immaturity. Absolutely no understanding, baby-like actions. Now, where are we today? At least that 17-year-old, I can say, look, you want all that? You get out and get you a job, and then go get him one. Mm-hmm. Never told a baby that, and it worked at all. You want those diapers changed, you get out and earn one. Oh, yeah, that'll work. Genesis chapter 37, verse 4. And I'll repeat myself some because I want us to get this down. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, if we honored our father's concerns, his will, his love, it looks like that we'd find out what he loved the most and get close to it.
Amen.
Rather than be jealous and stomp and hate.
Yes, right.
If I hate something, all I'm full of is something other than God. If I'm fussing and yelling and screaming, all I'm proving is I want to be God. I don't like him being God. Once again, verse 5, now Joseph had a dream. If God puts in you a dream, who are you going to allow to take it away? Who are you going to allow to take it away? A brother?
Nope, nobody.
You know, I even see self involved here. I believe that's why God came to Jacob. Because Jacob was allowing self to take away the dream. God made a special visitation to rekindle that in Israel by even renaming him, giving him that fire in his bones. Let's look at it again. Verse 6, so he said to them, please hear this dream. How many times, I don't know how many times y'all have, let me go back to me for a second because I'm closer to that experience than any. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a church where I would say, let me tell you what God just spoke to me, and nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear. It's how immature the church is.
Yes, that's right.
They don't want to hear words from God. They want to hear words they want to hear.
That's right.
That's exactly what happened here. Joseph, back then, it's hard to relate to the difference between now and then, but back then, dreams meant something. Just like names meant something.
Yes.
And when Joseph said, I have a dream, it's like saying, God visited me, let me tell you about it. And they said, and he said, please listen. So you know who you're dealing with. There's my dream. There we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? When are we going to get mature enough to know that if this is God's will, we should be excited about that?
Yes, amen.
Because if it's God's will, who's really reigning over us?
It's God.
It's not Joseph. It's not my little weasel brother that we've done all these pranks with. It's something that's birthed and something that's growing. How about in your lives? How about in your lives? Who has God told you is supposed to rule over you, and every time you just go inside of you? Instead of saying, God, that's nice of you. Hey, the Bible says call those things that aren't as if they already are.
Yeah.
Sometimes the only way we're going to get from point A to point B, where we are to where we should be, is put up with some things we don't like and give God glory anyway.
Amen.
Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? Nobody has dominion over us. We're so important. Can I just be honest with y'all right here? I know some of you think you're pretty hot stuff. But just weigh everything in your life and see how much it is in the ocean. Why? Because most of us have not allowed God to do what he wants to do.
That's right.
And I'm as guilty as anybody in here. I'm not pointing your direction. So they hated him. That's a natural, good response. I think I'll just hate you. I don't like who you are. I don't like where you are. I don't like what you say. So, yeah, I'll just hate you. They knew better than that even then, that you couldn't hate people and get by with it. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. See, God, How many of you know God to be just a tad bit ornery? Oh, come on. You ain't going to insult him. God's a tad bit ornery. And if he sends a message to one of his children and the rest of the children mock it, he'll just send it again.
That's right.
You don't like that? Here's another dose, only this one's bigger. See, Israel over there right now. They got the thing down. They know who God is. God doesn't mess around. You step on God's toes and he just bombs you. They're doing what ought to be done. You don't take one. You don't take two. You don't take anybody. You don't step across our borders. You don't fire missiles. You don't do anything. Do you? It's just like God stepping up and saying, I'm God Almighty. Who do you think you're messing with? We need to take some lead from Israel.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. This is what God told him this time. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to him. Now this was all right. The first time was all right with his daddy because it didn't involve his daddy. The next time, Daddy says, you mean me and your mama are supposed to bow to you? Now, let me ask you something. If you had to pick your next king, wouldn't it be cool to believe that God was picking your son to bow down to? I got one answer. See, that's one of those hot, cold things. That's one hot and spooky. I don't know if I want to answer that one or not. If God has to pick the next king, God, let it be my son. Instead, the father said, what you talking about? What you talking about? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, you're the father of kings and nations. I believe that's what you told me God told you. Oh, do we believe in God's word enough to quote it even when we're uncomfortable with it?
Yeah.
But he kept it in mind, didn't he?
Yes.
Let me give you some applications here of what we've just been studying. Y'all got your 1, 2, 3s ready? Number one, if God speaks to you about something, don't reveal it except by divine revelation. Joseph made a mistake. By the way, all of us are going to make mistakes because a lot of this stuff we haven't done before. So we're going to mess it up a little bit. God's, it's in the plan. Don't worry about it. But just for some advice, if God speaks to you about your future, wait till he says, say it before you say it. That is hard in the United States because that would require a little bit of control of the tongue. And we don't have that much here. Number two, be considerate of others' feelings, as much as possible. Be considerate of others' feelings as much as possible. Do not create your own wars.
Yes.
God is perfectly capable of creating wars for you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need your help. Number three, what we found out in chapter 50. The plan of God is first for others, second for you.
Yes.
So if you are going to reveal something that God says to you, make sure that you put it in the context that it's first for others, then for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, the way we should approach life is that there's this river called the plan of God. Mm-hmm. And it's moving. And maybe I don't see myself in it, so the next step is how do I get in it?
Amen.
We don't pray, God, make me a king. We pray, God, how can I be used by you? Four, your involvement in God's plan can be thwarted or changed by your excitement or your resistance. You know, in the kingdom of God, I've seen more people go astray by their excitement than their resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I tell you something? God wants you to be excited about life, but he never wants the excitement to rule your life.
Yes, that's right.
You get your rapes and your murders and your thefts by excitement ruling your life.
Yeah, that's right.
You get those that control by law, by those that are excited about life and rule by law. Okay. Your involvement in God's plan, this river that's going, this movement of God, can be thwarted or changed by your excitement or your resistance. You know what you do with excitement? Can I be a party poop just for a second? Do you know what you do with excitement? You recognize it, put it on the shelf, and wait till it comes around the second time. Y'all understand that? Don't ever do anything because you're excited. You're going to make big mistakes if you're, oh boy, you're already in trouble. You didn't think it through. You didn't pray it through. You didn't ask God nothing. You just got excited. Number five. By the way, that word that I put in there about resistance, did you know that most Christians, their resistance is their inability to believe God enough to think that they're qualified?
Yep.
That's the resistance I'm talking about. Most of us are smart enough that we just don't get up in God's face and argue. But doubt and unbelief is what hindered the ministry of Jesus Christ when he walked this earth. Doubt and unbelief. What? What do you mean doubt and unbelief? His? No, others. You know how easy it is to get caught up in other people's unbelief? All you got to do is get close to it. You allow it to hang around for a little bit, and you're going to start losing your faith. I don't care. I'm right. If you want to argue with me, you're wrong. I'm right. Your faith can be stolen by listening to things that aren't full of faith, by hanging around people that are not full of faith. And it especially can be thwarted by hanging around those that walk in constant rebellion.
Yes, that's right.
Number five. You never want to cause others to stumble.
Amen.
If God wants help or assistance, He'll reveal it to them. Now, what do I mean by that? So I don't think Joseph helped anything by revealing that to his brothers.
Right.
I don't think he thought it through. God used it anyway. Please, let's get out of this mentality that if we make one little mistake, God's will is so fragile we break it all to pieces. It doesn't happen. I'm just saying, do you think God has a plan on your life? A will and a plan. Then your best bet is to work it out to not cause others to stumble and not cause you to stumble, right? You know it's going to happen because you know it's God's will. Now, how can I keep from screwing this up? That's a simple way to say it. You don't have to go. You shouldn't have to go rattle somebody else's cage if it's God's will. Today's church in the United States is full of people that are so busy promoting their own intents. How do I know it's their own intents? Because they're promoting it. It's God's. As we go through this scripture, keep this one thing in mind. Look for the places where Joseph promoted himself. Number six. God's will is always hard for flesh to accept. Why'd you say that, Stan? I want you to understand that if it's easy to swallow, it wasn't God's will.
Yes.
I'm not trying to make this Christian life rugged. I'm trying to make it honest. Last night, when I turned my alarm on, I didn't want to do that. Who in the world wants to get up 5 o'clock in the morning? Who wants to do that? I see all the hands going up. So y'all get up. I'll stay in bed. Y'all study. The flesh never wants to go along with what's good for you.
Yes, that's right.
Your flesh never wants to go along with what's good for you. Your flesh never wants to go along with what's good for you. Your flesh never wants to go along with what's good for you. If your flesh is leading you, it's bad for you. If your flesh is leading you, it's bad for you. If your flesh is leading you, it's bad for you. If it all feels warm and fuzzy, it's not good for you. In addition to that, number seven, Never believe that because God said it, it'll be easy. Never believe that because now I know exactly what God said, it's going to be easy. You'll never find that in the Bible. Let me give you the best example. I mean, give you the best definition of, I guess, a fool, but a hard life. Okay? The best example of, I know, and this is number 8, and I'll just draw the picture instead. Y'all saw the river, the plan of God, the river flowing? Let me give you a definition of a fool. The guy that's swimming the other way. A rebel. A rebel without a cause. I'm a tattooed rebel without a cause. I'm a drug addict rebel without a cause. No, you're just one of those idiots that's swimming up the wrong way. Or trying to. Do you know you can't swim up a river that's moving? You're going to spend all the rest of your life trying, and all the time you're losing ground. Because the will of God is the will of God. It's going to go that way. And no matter what anybody says, they're going that way too.
Amen.
And you can take all the mind-altering drugs you want. And when you get off of it, by the way, you're still going. You just don't know it. When you get down, you're still going.
Yep.
You just lost a bunch of ground. You didn't know about it. You didn't get to see. You didn't get to enjoy. The world is going according and on schedule to God's will and plan. If we're going any other way, we're going against a force that cannot be changed.
Yes.
Please understand, I wish the world would get real about this. You will not change the force of God. Back of the book. Let me remind you, the back of the book. Chuck. Every knee will what? And every tongue will what? That what?
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord. Even, I don't care if you're worshiping a little short, fat, dead guy. Or if you're worshiping another guy that's going to give you 72 virgins. I don't care what you're worshiping. I promise you at the end of the day, no matter how much you've tried to swim sideways or upstream, at the end of the day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That doesn't mean everybody's going to heaven. That means for the last time God is through arguing, your face is put in the mud and now you're going to hell. So we better bow and confess while we still got a chance.
Amen.
How do you accept God's will when you don't have enough info? Now, the reason I ask you that is because I've never met one instance in my life where I knew the will of God where I had enough info. In fact, I've never met anybody that had enough info. So how do I accept it? Let me give you some 10 things here. We're going to be a little later than normal, but let's just get these 10 things down. When you have revelation, number 1, when you have revelation from God about anything, you've already entered into the miraculous. I want to encourage you in something. Let's turn off the TVs and turn off the chats and turn off all that nonsense. Listen to me. If God speaks anything to you, you've just moved into the supernatural.
Right.
You don't have to look to go there. You're already there. And that is the first step in walking in faith. Listen to me. Everybody stand up for a second. I don't want you to miss this. Stand up for a second. That's to shake off the sleepy bugs. We were so tired when we moved all this yesterday. I think some of the sleepy bugs are still there. All right. Say praise God.
Praise God.
Sit back now. Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. The most exciting thing that could ever happen to you in anybody's life is for God to speak a word to you.
Amen.
For the God of the universe, speak something to you.
Right.
Nothing more exciting can happen. But the first step of faith is you believe what He said.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that He spoke to you and you believe that it's true. Number 2, revelation of is truth. Revelation is truth.
Right.
Anytime God speaks something to you, He speaks only truth. Not a colored version, not a watered down version, not a past tense. It's going to be truth now and forever. Therefore, the Spirit of truth must rule and reign. You must give place to that. This means you must give up what you see and know for what God sees and knows.
Amen.
if the Spirit of truth, if revelation knowledge, if a dream, if you want to call it a dream, I don't care. However you think that God has visited you, that is called the Spirit of truth, right from the mouth of God. Now what you have to do is give up what you think you know for what the truth is. See, Joseph just thought he was going to be a sheep herder's son. Had that big place out there, man, that magnificent ranch, and there's sheep all over the hills, and he knew his life was set. He had all the mutton he could eat, had all the technicolor dream coats he could make up from all that wool. You hear me? Mm-hmm. That's what he thought was going to happen until God stepped in. And you know what, Joseph, this is a trait that you and I need. You know what Joseph didn't do? He didn't say, but what about the ranch?
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I'm excited. I got a dream. Let me tell you about it. And by the way, he didn't give up that plan the first time he got discouraged.
That's right.
Three, accept the fact that God wants to use you. And I'll use a phrase my dad always used, warts and all. You got to accept the fact that God desires to use you, flaws and all.
That's right.
He never once said to you, Chuck, as soon as you can and grow this beard that'll cover your whole face, I can use you. In fact, he never once said to you, as soon as you can put a little meat on your bones, I can use you. Come on, we're dealing with the facts that how the devil attacks people. In the dumbest ways. But he does. You know all that garbage that used to be in your life? I can't use you because of that. When the devil runs out of anything smart to say, he just keeps talking, which then it comes out dumb.
That's right.
Accept the fact that God wants to use you, warts and all. Number four, you must know and take confidence in the fact. Listen to me carefully. This ought to set you free. That God is bigger than your weaknesses.
Yes, that's right.
Don't deny you have weaknesses. That's a fool. What you just say over and over doesn't make any difference where I'm weak, where I've missed it, where I've screwed it up. God's bigger than all of that.
Right.
He's bigger than all of that. Number five. We must live in the fact that God's plan is already considered and covered our mistakes and questions. Our mistakes and our questions have already been covered.
Amen.
Number six. We must know that we have been chosen for our willingness, not our beauty or talent. We're not. God's plan has never been built around beauty and talent. Y'all remember the description of Jesus Christ? Not one time does he use the word beauty or talent.
Right.
In fact, it points the other direction.
Right.
Number seven. We will never do this alone. Mm-hmm. We'll never do this without help from others that were chosen for their willingness. God finds a willing man. He goes and looks around and finds some more willing men. And he says, there you go. We'll put you together and that plan goes forward.
Amen.
Number eight. God's plan will succeed. He never fails. Now listen carefully. He does not allow our failure to cause his failure.
Yes, that's right.
Our sluggishness never makes God sluggish. Our questions never makes God question.
That's right.
Listen, let me say something else. I can't imagine, I don't care how many times you have screwed up, I can't imagine God ever saying, I wonder if I made the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope.
Because He knows the beginning from the end. That's exciting to me. Number nine, always know that you alone were never enough. Please, man, if you don't get anything else, get this one. You alone have never been enough. So that when that thing comes over you that says you're not enough, say, I know it. And I'm not alone. But that you and God are more than enough. Number 10. It was never about you. God is bigger than that.
That's right.
Let me say this. Let me say it another way. I always find a way to insult. I'll try it this. God has a very difficult time bringing His focus to you. Even when you're praying, He sees you in the context of many. He sees your requests in the context of how does it fit my whole.
Amen.
Jesus promised to be your individual advocate. God never promised to be that.
That's right.
God is the God of the universe.
Yes.
You know, He doesn't belong to you. I wish we could get this down. God never belongs to an individual. He's bigger than that. So when you want to pray all about me, He's not listening. He wants to know how you're going to apply this to the rest of His family.
Amen.
God, I want. I don't understand those words. It was never about just you. God is bigger than that. The outcome will be according to the plan of God.
Yes.
Do I want to participate? That's what this is all about. Joseph, do you understand that Joseph had a choice? He didn't have to be the king. He could have resigned. And the plan of God, of course you understand if God already knows this, He wouldn't have chosen him.
That's right.
But in our finite minds, I'm trying to put some meat to it. If God chose Bill to do a certain job, and Bill has spent so much time fighting with Bill that he can't do the job, then he's finally one day going to say, you know what, Bill? I got to find somebody that quits talking about it, hashing it over, fighting, yelling, screaming, pouting, blah, 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 blah. And I've got to find somebody that'll do the job.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, Chuck. You've worked some men. Is that the way it works? Somebody's sick all the time? You can sympathize with it, but it won't work. You fire them and get somebody that can keep going.
Yep, that's right.
That would be good for those that are employees also. Your employer is faced with production. He's not faced with a sick employee. You can only be a sick employee so long, and then his production falls. So he's got to get rid of that, and he's got to move on.
That's right.
Now, is there anything wrong with God? Are you looking at God that way?
Mm-hmm.
The outcome will be according to God's plan. Do we want the privilege and the profit from submitting to it and participating in it? Or give up and be one of the worthless ones? You know, if you don't participate in God's plan, you're a worthless one.
Yes, that's right.
Now, come on. Don't be mad at me. Just let me ask you this. Does anybody in here want to be a worthless one?
No way.
I'd rather be involved, swept up by
yes.
God's plan.
Yes.
Now listen to me. I'm going to do a little quick review here. God's been working at the plan in your life since Adam.
Right.
You're not a fresh thought. You're not the last failure.
Right.
God's got higher plans and higher aspirations for you than you're finally a failure. I can't be a bigger failure, so I'm not going to try anymore. I quit. No. Can you imagine the heart of Joseph when he goes and he says to his brothers and his family, God has a plan for me. Now listen to me carefully. God has a plan for me. Their response is to throw him in a pit and sell him as a slave. Can you imagine for you and I, those weak ones, how devastating that could be to your faith? And yet God's requirement is brush it off.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
You need to understand My hand's on your life. You're blessed when you come in. You're blessed when you go out. Let me say it another way. You're blessed when you're in the air conditioning. You're blessed when you're not. Come on. You're blessed when things look real good, and you're blessed when they don't look so good.
Yes.
Come on. Get on the blessing boat, our river, because that's where God's at, and that's where His will is at. And the devil's specialty is to pick the little bitty things that you've screwed up in and try to destroy you eternally. Your job is to resist him and he will flee.
That's right.
Well, when he flees, what's left? The plan of God. Now you revelation comes in, understanding comes in, excitement comes in, faith comes in. Faith in you is built. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
When you believe God for something, you believe more in you than you did the day before. That's God's plan. Now, the devil's plan is that every time, if we pray for Marie, Harry agrees, we move in, Marie comes out like gold. Y'all hear me? Then the devil's going to come over here, and instead of letting Harry be encouraged in this, he's going to give him reasons why he should be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
What's our job? Choose you this day, life or death, blessings and curses. Right? What are you saying, Stan? I'm saying that God has a plan for you.
Yes.
But the number one plan is that you accept Him as the last word.
Yeah.
There's no other word. My flesh don't like it. My friends don't like it. My dog doesn't like it. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. But it hurts, and I'm full of worry. And I don't know how the bills are going to get paid, and I don't know how... Joseph's laying in a slave tent, and no telling what he was doing in that slave, as a slave. But in his back of his mind, listen to me, this is the key to faith. In the back of his mind, those sheaves are going to bow. The sun and the moons and the stars are going to bow. You dummy. You dummy, you've been sold. No, I have that word. I have that word, and there's one thing that the devil can't steal from you is God's word.
Yes, amen.
Because that word has become a promise. It's become the light that you follow. It's become your hope and your help. It's become your prosperity and your health. That word of God. And everybody in here has had a word from God. Everybody in here has had a word from God. Nobody on the face of this earth does not meet God. That's a promise in the word. I don't care what he promised you. Just keep it to yourself. But keep it to yourself. Don't let somebody steal it.
Yeah.
Don't let situations steal it.
Yeah.
Jacob, the father of kings and nations. Do you know when he ran into his last revelation? Hungry, broke, busted, and disgusted, sitting in front of a son he didn't even recognize and thought he had lost forever. And all of a sudden, there's my son. There's my promise.
Yes.
I didn't lose it. There it is. I nearly gave up on it over and over and over, but there it is. It's the will of God. It never goes away.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Did you know you're somebody's promise?
Yes. Right.
You're God's promise, if nothing else. But your husband's promise, your wife's promise, your children's promise, you're God's promise. You are worthy of God's attention. Don't demand it. He's already given it to you. You don't have to fight for it.
Yes, that's right.
How do I know? How do I know? I know what God has promised me. You can't handle what God has promised me. Can I tell you that openly? You can't handle. I can describe to you in vivid detail the things that God has promised me. But it would cause you to stumble. But it's here. And it's never going away. And one of the things God has been faithful about in the last few months is reviving those things that I thought was out. When the devil thought that he'd put his last bit of weight on me and it wasn't going to be over. I mean, that it was over now. God would step up and remind me, just remind me of a little word. That's all he has to do. And all of a sudden things change. Things change. But a few days ago, my wife reminded me, because I knew when I said it. I left the lawyer's office and I said, Connie, I don't think I can take any more. I don't think I can take any more. Now, she didn't say it to me, so I know what she did. She told me later, she said, that wasn't you. You don't say things like that. What are you known by? What are you known to say? God used what I said to correct me. It hadn't been that long ago that I corrected myself, a process. You get a hold of yourself and you pull yourself back out of there and say, you know what? They don't know who they're dealing with. They don't know what's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
My God says they'll be defeated right before my eyes.
Yeah.
Who in the world, how stupid could I be to even doubt him for a second?
Yes.
You can say that to yourself. Don't just make me say it to me. How stupid could I be to doubt him for a moment? Never says that I will come out being boiled up and be dross. It says I will come forth as pure gold.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
You know what the Bible says?
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen pure gold. I haven't. I think when we get to heaven, we'll see it. But I can promise you this, everybody recognizes gold. Pure or not. If I just get anywhere close, I'll be recognized. Come on.
Yeah.
God loves you. So much that he formed a plan from the foundations of the earth. No. You see, your opinion doesn't even count there. He doesn't care if you think that he loves you or not. He just says, I am God, which means I am love. I just can't emphasize enough to you that your opinion doesn't count except against you.
Right.
Your opinion counts against you. Your faith counts for you.
Yes.
And if your opinion is against anything that God has said or who he is, please get rid of it. Kill it. Let the Holy Spirit burn you up where there's nothing left but just this pure faith vessel, a dynamo that people can predict on how you speak and what you say. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If there's anything in your life that you need us to help you pray about right now, please come forward. If we can stand with you, help you, lay hands on you, whatever, we're willing to do that. We want to do that. We believe that it works.
Yes.
We know that it works.
Yes.
Master, Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms. So you don't care what goes on anywhere else. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away.
Right.
But there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right, all hearts clear. That's what you're proclaiming. Let me remind you, sinners and saints alike, if the Lord would come right now, your opinion of your life doesn't matter. It's God's opinion of your life that counts. He writes on the books. He writes it all down. Nothing's done and hidden. Nothing's done in secret. Everything you think, everything you wish has been written down. If you don't keep that slate clean, the best Christian in this room could end up missing heaven. How do I keep it clean? Not just keep in relationship with God. Let Him become you and not you become Him. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Harry. No, you don't, but God does.
Yeah.
I know that y'all would never think that Harry would say, I've never been a caregiver, although you know him to have helped a lot of people. I understand what he's saying because I'm the same way. My bedside manner is not the world's best. What he wants is agreement that he's going to be able to take care of Marie in the form that she is worthy of. How about that? I'll just embellish just a little bit. That's right. I know how you feel about her. I know how you feel about her. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you said you hear and answer every prayer. And every prayer means those that are coming from a true and contrite heart. And I believe that's what I'm hearing this morning. I thank you for healing Marie. But I also know that she still has some sore spots. And that's putting it lightly. And what I just heard Harry say is I want to take care of her in a manner she's worthy of. And so we agree that he has an ability that's superior to any ability he's ever tapped into before. That by the Holy Spirit, he looks back and he says, who is this person that's taking care of Marie? That's encouraging Marie with kind words and proper actions. Not just soft actions, but proper actions. Who is this person? And he raises his hand and he gives you praise.
Yes.
He gives you praise. And for that, he gets a testimony. And Marie gets a testimony. And Marie gets good care. And the household of Harry becomes stronger and bigger than ever before in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And we say, as you said on the cross, as we've agreed, it is finished. Amen. It's finished. He's bigger than Harry. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Praise your Lord. Heart's clear. Praise the Lord, right? We agree with you. Whatever you just praise the Lord about, we agree with you. Hallelujah. Thank you for helping my message today. Those facial actions, those things, they help. Thank you. You too. Did a good job. Y'all didn't know you preached, did you? You ought to be up here sometime and try it, and you'll see. Hallelujah. Alrighty, then I'm going to proclaim hearts clear. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you went far beyond whatever words I spoke and you met the needs and directions that are needed in hearts today. I ask you to take the thought process that you brought into this room, seal it in those hearts now in Jesus' name, so that it changes life's direction forever for everybody that's in this place and everybody that's listening to this CD or tape. We love you, Lord. With all of our hearts, we want to worship you by serving you. Let that be the desire. Therefore, our feet can follow the desire. In Jesus' name. And everybody that disagrees says, amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. My parents were good, though. Anyway, let me say over you something. Bill has to remind me. I pledge to you, and my memory's not. But here is the priestly blessing that I'm supposed to speak over you. And I'm going to do that. All right? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you.
Yes.
May He be gracious to you, show you His favor, and give you His peace. And everybody that agrees, receives, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Y'all be dismissed.